Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You ready, Charles?
Yeah, man.
Not in a pub.
The mad theme tune, that, innit?
Yeah, it's weird.
Hi, friends.
Graham's laugh.
How is everyone?
Good.
Same old.
Coping somewhat.
Yeah, do you know what? I feel quite.
It's a nice sunny day today.
I woke up just in a bad mood, just for no reason.
Could be worse.
Do you know what? Do you ever get that on a Monday?
Just no joke. I woke up today in a terrible mood. Went on a walk this morning and I went dead early. I got up at like 8:15 and I was on a walk about sort of 8:45. And I just went around the valley in Bramall, Happy Valley. Mm. And it was frozen still. Obviously it's been dead muddy, hasn't it? But it was all frozen, do you know what I mean? So I didn't get muddier out, which is a plus side, I like that. The dog didn't get muddy, I didn't have to like proper wash him down. And it was just dead nice, because it was just sunny as well, do you know what I mean? It's my favourite day when it's like dead cold and you've got to like wrap up warm.
Crisp.
But it's dead sunny, yeah. It's like, I just felt dead cosy.
Do you know what? We're all here. It could be worse, couldn't it?
Yeah, do you know, my mood improved after, you know, did a bit of exercise, walk the dog. Mm. My brain started ticking. But when I first woke up, I would say it was like the wrong side of the bed game. Yeah. Just was like, can't be arsed speaking.
I've got a decorator around at the minute at mine and Josh's house. And I just got chatting to him, was making a cup of tea for him and stuff. I said, how long have you been decorating? He said, this is fairly new for me. I'm a furloughed Ryanair pilot.
Is
he?
Fucking hell. I'd chew his ear off.
Right. Okay. Made a lovely job of the landing anyway.
Do you know what?
Oh, is that not even true? Is it just?
For fuck's sake. We have met a pilot before, though. We've heard some interesting things
in Hong Kong.
We have met a captain of a. We have met that a pilot.
That's what we're just talking.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Hong Kong. We're all just pecking his head, weren't we?
Oh, I was fucking chewing his ear off. What were you going to say about him?
I just. He won an award or something in Sweden, didn't he?
Because he was about to land in Sweden and pulled out the landing because he said the runway was too icy. And then the plane behind him skidded off the runway. So he won an award for safety. And now he flies A380s, doing the biggest fucking ones. He let us sit in the pilot seat, do you remember?
He was on the phone to his daughter or his kid.
Yeah,
his
we were going, get
I,
your
I went, put your dick away, Martin.
We met one in San Francisco, bottom of the hill. Do you remember when we played there?
Oh, yeah. I was poorly then. Foul gig, one of my worst ever gigs, though.
It was like the whole of the Emirates crew come with us. So I knew he flew the A380, the big... You know,
the big daddy. Plane.
So I went over to him. I went, "What do you fly?" He went, "Oh, you know, the big girl."
So
cringy.
Yeah. It's, do you know what though? I fucking love talking to pilots. This sounds lame now, but I'm obsessed with watching weird videos, art and stuff like that. And I went through a phase of watching this guy called I think it's called Gear 737. Or 737 gear, and it's just or seven.
Leave me a comment, man.
Basically, it's this pilot, and he goes through like sometimes he has like different formats of video. One form is like he goes through like Hollywood films and says how accurate they are compared to flying.
All right,
and goes through all this stuff, and it's fucking honestly, I love it. At the moment, it's Everest videos.
Oh, yeah,
obsessed with watching videos of Everest, like about Everest. It's dark. Yeah, like, it's like watching a Netflix thing. Like I can't believe like. There's people up there still frozen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like corpses. Everest.
Oh, yeah, they're just chilling up there, pardon the pun.
Yeah, honestly, it's mad. And like they were talking about like how the Sherpas have to make decisions like when people are alive or dead to like just leave them. And it's just like, you can be climbing Everest and go past like
there's
seven
one
bodies
called,
and stuff. Green Boots.
Green Boots, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
the most famous one. There's one next to him or near him and it's a guy huddled over, right? His knees are up and he's got his, like, he's got his arms on his like knees like that and his head down and he's just frozen like that.
Fuck that.
You know, what's there's the rule at Everest where you have to, if you go up Everest, you have to bring down a certain amount of like trash and like
oh, really?
Human excrement.
I've not heard that.
What do you mean?
Because obviously, you know, you're up,
oh,
up,
you go,
up,
you go
Everest.
Through, yeah, you go through all the stuff, so you have to bring your stuff down.
Yeah, but if you need to go for an earther, you can't just. There's not public toilets on Everest. You obviously, you know, you do your business and you have to bring it back down with you.
Fucking hell, like a bit like a dog walk.
Yeah, but yeah, walking yourself.
There's a portaloo at the top, isn't there? It's helicoptered on.
Joe, have you seen? Honestly,
I've actually, sorry to interrupt, I've actually got a fact about Mount Everest, if you want it.
Go on then.
This won't be my section.
But Miles, give us a fact.
I'm not going to go into it.
It's not going to be a Miles fact yet.
Oh, I mean, it can be. Do you want it?
I don't. It depends.
Yeah, go on. I've got quite a few bits.
Go on. I was going to say it might sound a bit too serious, though. Miles' facts are usually funny, aren't they?
No, I mean, I'll do a few. Bumblebees can fly higher than Mount Everest.
Fucking hell.
Do you know how high Everest is?
What's the elevation, Joe?
It's 29,000 feet.
Well, that's about 9,000 meters, and that's what these can fly to.
8,800 meters.
Surely a bumblebee's just going to get blown around.
Bumblebees can fly high. Well, the highest they can fly is about 9,000 meters or 29,500 feet.
Yeah. So yeah, Everest is like roughly the same height as a transatlantic flight at cruising altitude, which is mental, isn't it, when you think about it. But in the past few years, there's been like queues to get to the summit at the top and stuff. And that's what's accounted to most of the deaths.
There'll be a cafe soon, won't there?
Yeah, loads of mountaineers are fuming because
of shit badges and like fucking.
Even though it's the highest, it's not regarded as like the hard. You know what I mean? Like they're sort of saying like if you're fit enough, you can climb it. Even though that sounds mad, you know what I mean? Loads of people are fuming about it. Like, but people have done it like as a first mountain they've climbed over 8,000. I'm getting gimpy now, but they call when you get over 8,000 meters the death zone.
Fucking
and that's because you need oxygen past that level. You don't need it. Some people have climbed like, but K2 is apparently the hardest mountain. That's like the mountaineer's mountain.
Who was the one who conquered it first?
Eddie Bure. The
Everest.
English. Eddie, what's his name? Eddie.
The Eagle.
What is his name? George Mallory.
I think it's Eddie.
I think his body's still up there, actually.
Well, he didn't conquer it, did he? Didn't make it back down the top.
Okay.
Eddie Bure, that's it, yeah.
Sure, he lived in Wilmslow or something like that.
Oh, no, that's the...
Well, a cloud can weigh more than £1 million.
What, like, just like if you had a bag of £1 million?
No, as in pounds, as in the weight format.
As in the weight pounds.
Oh, right, I thought you meant like money.
Yeah, that's loosely related, but you don't think clouds to weigh much, really, but...
Yeah. Edmund Hillary, Charles, there we go.
Edmund Hillary, that's the one.
Cut that one out. Negative YouTube comment of the week.
Why do you hate us? Blossoms at Reading Festival. I think it's 2019. Was this the sun one?
No, what do you mean?
It's dead hot.
It was warm, yeah.
That's what I mean. It was somewhat good, dead good, but the crowd was mint, wasn't it?
No, shit.
Oh, no, you hated it. But no, you see, well,
crowd was shit.
No, the Reading crowd. You're comparing Reading to Leeds when it's always. Yeah, it's always crowd, better.
The crowd was fucking. It was well busy.
It was busy, yeah, but they weren't animated. They looked bored.
Yeah,
anyway.
Because it was dead. This is Negative Tom. This comment should be called Negative Tom of the Week.
Dunce Funts says. That synth line in the first song is so shit. I didn't know if this band was American or British, but they're obviously British.
You talk about A Most to Kiss?
Yeah.
Fuck off. What a tune A Most to Kiss is.
Dunce Funts don't like it.
Dunce Funts can fuck off.
Yeah, I don't really agree with that.
The synth line is so shit.
But then again, if I did agree, I'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
You didn't write it.
To be fair, what I did do on that, I just picked a fucking shit synth sound, so... Maybe he's right. Yeah.
There's another one on Nos Alive.
Yeah.
When we stepped in for the Kooks.
That was a stressful gig. Last minute.
Yeah. Twitching Soul 4
yeah.
says, awful, awful, awful singer. But... Then, obviously, after last week, I went onto his profile.
Oh, love it!
And he's got a little playlist he's created called... Oh, yeah. The playlist on it is he's got, you know, like rock and roll music, and then one thing's called Interesting. So his number one video on his Interesting playlist is... What the Empire revealed about Mace Windu after his death, Star Wars explained.
We only give this back to people, don't we?
God. You know, if he's calling me an awful, awful singer, I can rip him about Mace Windu.
Yeah,
it's one on one.
It's one of them.
It's
can,
vice versa.
If you can give it, you can take it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can take it.
We like Star Wars, but
I do like Star Wars, but I don't want to know. what the Empire revealed about Mace Windu. I just like it.
What did
like
it reveal, though? What did it reveal?
I didn't watch the video.
I've got one here.
Go on.
Oh, you got another one?
This is on YouTube. It's our video of Less I Know The Better, cover of Tame Impala with Miles Kane.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So this is from a guy whose name is Kanye Weast. Spelt W-E-A-S-T. Fuck. And he's put, Blossom suck cock, but you are a Chad Miles Kane. Thanks, bro.
I didn't get it.
I don't know what it means.
But you are Chad.
Chad, yes. Well,
let
Chad
me Google.
The name Chad.
Oh, it's going to be something like
Chad Urban old. Dictionary.
Yeah, it's good. We're old and we have to start doing this.
I think we are getting a bit old, to be honest.
Chad, in reference to the male anatomy, it's a space between the anus and the scrotal sac.
Oh, the gooch.
So I think he's slagging him off still.
Thanks, bro.
Think he's being sarcastic.
So is he saying
suck cock, Miles Kane, you are the gooch. Is that what he's saying?
Is he saying we're the cock, Miles is the gooch? I mean, I don't really know.
Maybe.
Chad, residue of faecal matter. But there's nothing positive coming out of it. It's all like the sticky build-up found between the scrotum and the arse.
Fucking hell.
Kanye Weast.
And here's an example of Chad in that.
Kanye Yeast.
Damn, dude, have a shower. Damn, dude, have a shower. I can smell your Chad.
Oh, fucking hell.
You ever had a finger up your ass?
Yeah.
Medically.
Oh, actually, you've had a finger up your ass, haven't you, medically?
That's why I'm asking if you had a finger up your
ass. I've never done it, but I've got this down in my notes. What did a doctor say to you once?
Oh, I knew this was coming at some point. It was rather...
This is true. Before you start, we had this conversation about whether we should talk about this on the podcast, but we decided that it should because, you know, you should be encouraged to go to the doctors when you've got something wrong with you. And when it's downstairs, you could feel a bit scared, do you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
This wasn't related to that. What happened was I found a bit of like a lump on the side of me on my ribs.
Yeah.
And I was like, need to get that checked out. It wasn't anything big. It was like, you know, it turns out it was just fucking fat on my ribs.
Yeah,
so it genuinely was fuck all. But I walked in, phoned them up. Obviously COVID, you have to phone up and they phone you back and they ask you your questions and that. You what?
I'm just laughing at you.
You know, COVID.
COVID and that.
And they were like, come in. And I went in, mask on, walked in, they were like, what's up? I was like, yeah, I've got a bit of a lump here, feel it. And the guy was like, I can't feel anything, to be honest. I think it's just your rib. And I was like, okay, well, I don't think that's true. And he's like, do you want me to get someone else? I was like, yeah, if you can. Came in, it was this woman, and she was like pro. She was like, you know, quite stern, but she was professional and stuff.
Yeah,
and she was like, she felt my sides, and she was like, yeah, looks okay. And then she was like, right, this, that, whatever. I can't remember what the doctor was called, but basically she was like, right, check his groin, took his gloves off, and I was like, right, okay. And the doctor was, he seemed a bit more like, you know, he was friendly, but he seemed a bit more like...
He was training, wasn't he?
He seemed a bit more like, oh, right, okay, here we go. And I was like, right, what do you want me to do then? And he was like, oh, can you just lower your pants a bit? And I was like, yeah, sound.
So you tackle with
that? So I lowered my pants and he was like, no, they need to come down. I was like, oh, off. And he was like, yeah, they need to come off. And I was like, why? And he's like, it's your groin. I need to feel around the area for anything that, you know, anything that could be there. And I was like, right. So, you know, knobs out, stood up. His head.
His knobs out, stood up.
He's there, you know, feeling around. And I was
no,
like.
No, no, no. There's a
no,
point.
No. Yeah, I don't worry.
Sorry.
And you know, I've been in this situation before. So I was like.
Alone.
I was like, it's even though it's medical, it's always a bit awkward, and you find yourself. I don't know if this is for anyone else who've ever done it, but you find yourself just saying awkward stuff on both halves.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, don't worry about it, mate. I've been here before. I've been here before. I've done it before. And he was like, oh right, have you played rugby then? And I was like, no.
Do you mean like the doctor's making a shit joke?
And I was like,
what did he mean?
No, I don't know. I still now I don't know. And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, okay. So before that, I you know, had it out.
Your and penis.
Yeah, we've all got one. We've not. I had it out.
All of us in this room have
anyway,
got one.
Anyway, right. I got it out and he was like, excuse me, could you, he didn't say excuse me, but he said, could you please move your junk? I was like, my junk. He was like, yeah, yeah.
Did he fuck? Honestly.
Yeah, you know, he called it, can you please move your junk? And then.
And I was like,
yes, Sam, but that's why I was like, oh, don't worry, I've been in this position before. And then he said, oh, rugby. And I was like, no.
I've never played rugby. Sure, this guy was a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
But he was fine. And then, luckily I was fine. But like you were saying before, Joe, when you've got problems, I mean, that wasn't even for downstairs. That's what I mean, the situation I got myself into.
It's all connected, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, you should, if anything's up, go to the doctors. It can be daunting, but it's sound. It's just a bit.
Should check. But yeah, sorry. Yeah. I just in my notes for that I've got Dr. Balls Willy move your junk. They're the notes I've got down. But Miles
I've
told
been to
me
Dr. Balls a few times.
Miles told me, like, fucking hell. I was. Oh yeah, I was. I was.
But
quite,
it's
quite,
you know, it's. It. But you
make
it's
good,
normal.
No, you make a good point. Yeah, if you got something wrong down there, you should definitely. Do you know what I mean?
But you can put it off, and even like I said, with COVID now, you might be like, oh, it's not serious. I'll wait. Yeah. But if you think it is something serious,
go and check.
Then
it
you
out.
Got. You know, get you can phone up.
Check your junk.
We've got the NHS.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so you might as well just check amazing. Your junk.
Hiya. Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late.
Hiya. It's all right. Worry about it.
Really, really don't like being late.
No, I have a realm of acceptability, which is like 25 minutes. So you're in like 11 minutes.
That's a huge amount of
25. You can tell from that how late Tom is usually all the time. So
right, got ya.
It's all right. Hello. How are you doing?
See ya.
Good. How are you lot?
All right. As can be.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah.
Might be a bit of a lag. Might be a bit of a lag on my end if you can.
Charlie lives up in the hills, so he's not very good. Yeah.
We'll
deal with that. We'll work with it.
Fucking hell, man. So,
right, should we start?
Yeah.
So obviously we've got a little section of our podcast. I don't know if you ever listened to our podcast.
I have listened to it.
It's quite. It's quite. I don't know how to explain it.
You're not doing a very good sell, are you? Go on, you've got to have a one-liner. Our podcast is.
I know, and I'm not very.
Us five chatting shit. That's basically what it is.
That's what a podcast is, though, isn't it? There's not much. Yeah.
It's quite light-hearted and silly. Like we've got other sections like negative YouTube comment of the week, where we go and find what people are slagging us off on YouTube and pick the best one. My favourite, personal favourite is Tom looks like an indie David Cameron. Can't see it personally, but
I can't see that.
I can't. No. Just mean, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't see that at all. Wow. I mean, you took that on the chin pretty well there.
Yeah, it's what it is, isn't it?
It is what it is.
But so we wanted to like get people involved, and we thought the best way was picking five tunes from Manchester.
Great idea. It's a bloody great idea.
It's quite an obvious idea as well, though, isn't it? It's like Manchester.
No, it's not. It's not, though, because it's really niche. It's a cute. I like it. It's great. Great
idea. We've had a few people do it already, and you get like, it's like we've seen some of your picks. I'm like, I didn't even know they were from Manchester. Do you know what I mean? That's what's interesting about it.
It is, isn't it?
So, yeah, it's. What's your number one pick? Well, what's your first pick?
Let's go with the obvious first. We're going to start with the obvious. Yeah. We're going to start with, I mean, it's so obvious, but you know, you have to go with what makes you feel good. And this song makes me feel so good. And it is the very glaringly obvious Oasis Champagne Supernova.
Tune.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about Manchester music, you can't really not mention Oasis in my eyes.
It's so obvious, but... You can't, like, there's ways of going about doing this item. You could go, right, I'm going to be, like, really cool and pick songs no one's heard of and bands that are really underground. Or you can go, I want to hit a few hitters. I want to talk about songs that literally make my heart burst. And that is one of them. It's super long. It's gorgeous. There's a little journey in that song. And it's, like, all spacey at the end. And if you lie on some grass looking at the sky when that end bit's playing... It's just divine.
Yeah. No, I'm well on board with that.
No one's picked that tune anyway.
What? How's no one picked that?
I don't know. We've had, obviously, most people have picked Oasis, but just
gone
not
well
that one.
With it or whatever, yeah.
No, we've not had champagne soup. No. It reminds me of 42's nightclub in Manchester.
Tell me about 42's. What's happening there? I've never been.
Oh, it's
I'll
like...
tell you about 42's.
Don't think you want to.
Just stay quiet, Charlie.
Ominous.
But yeah, 42's.
No, I'll do this.
It's like Manchester's indie nightclub.
Right.
So we used to go there growing up when you know you'd get in. I think I got in with your ID once, Joe, when we were like 17. And then, but they just play all like the, do you know what I mean? Oasis, Stone Roses, like, you know, all the big hitters over the years. And it's just like the place to go if you're into that kind of music. And
wicked. Let's hope that 42 survives the pandemic. I can't bear the thought of 42's not being around.
Do you know what?
We did like a GoFundMe. We donated a load of like signed lyrics and stuff to like, you know, it was like a bundle to help them raise money. And I think they raised what they wanted to do. So I think they're going to do it, which is good.
Sad times, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially with things like that. Like, that was one of the reasons I got into sort of indie music. Do you know what I mean? Like, was like club, like places like that. Because it was, I don't know, it just sort of opens your mind. You hear songs you've never heard, or you start going down different routes. Because I first went there, I listened to like Oasis and things like that. But I was really like, I was quite, do you know what I mean? I had blinkers on. I was just like, oh, Manchester bands like the Smiths, Oasis, Stone Roses. You know what I mean? There's no other bands. Obviously, when you go there, it sort of broadens your horizons a bit, and then you start meeting other people who are into that, them sort of tunes, and it's sort of like, I don't know, them places are really good, aren't they? And
yeah, think, you find your tribe, don't you? You go, oh, these are my people, this is the music we listen to, and this is how we dress, and this is what we talk about, and it's like, that's so exciting, especially when you're young. Like, I really remember that time when I was in my early 20s, 1,000 years ago, and we all went to Camden, and everyone would hang out in the Barfly or the Lock Tavern or whatever. And all the young, like, I remember seeing Laura Marling when she was about 13 playing in whatever pub we were in, the Lock Tavern or something. And it's like, oh, that was just such a special time where everyone was loving the same bands. Like, there's all these bands like Larrikin Love and Kid Harpoon, like, doing their thing. And it was such a special time. And you do think, without those venues, how do you get that sense of community? It's such a loss.
Yeah, 100%. And it's weird, isn't it? Because they are like, I don't think I would be the person, and it sounds so ridiculous to say because it's like, it's only a club, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't be who I am now if it wasn't for them places, do you know what I mean? Like, at the time, you don't really realise, you just go, oh, let's go 42's and have a drink, do you know what I mean?
Then yeah, no, I agree.
You have some of your best nights and like meet some of your best mates and stuff. And
totally. It's so important. Finding happiness, like, that's really important, just to like go and enjoy something, which we haven't done. So it's important.
Yeah, but that song reminds me of that nightclub.
Yeah.
And now there's a poster of us on the wall in 42's.
That's great.
Yeah.
What a proud moment. That's wicked.
That's why they've been abused with marker pen by now.
Yeah.
Sorry, David Cameron all around me.
Fucking hell. Song number two.
Yeah, well, okay, I know what I'm going to talk about next because I want to talk about this nightclub situation a bit more. So I'm going to go with Entrance, Set You Free. Now, I'm going with this song. I didn't actually know Entrance were from Manchester, but the internet says they are.
That's so, the one I didn't know. I didn't know they were from Manchester.
I mean, let's hope it's true because it's a great song. So my sort of equivalent pre the Camden days were, I lived in a like suburban working class town called Eastcote. And the neighbouring town was called Ruislip. This is like end of the Metropolitan Line stuff, right?
So where is this?
Yeah, no one knows Eastcote. And but Elton John was born in Pinner, which is the other neighbouring town. So he's given us a little landmark there. So Ruislip had a nightclub for under 16s, which was a hockey hall, and it was called Pulse. Now, this is back in, this is like the late 90s, like mid to late 90s. So it was all dance, it was garage, like two-step garage. And
I love garage.
Yeah, garage is wicked. Garage was what you had to listen to if you grew up in that area in the 90s.
Yep.
So we're listening to garage, we're listening to like dance stuff, like pop dance, wearing horrendous outfits and sort of raiding your parents' alcohol cupboard before you went to the under 16s nightclub really drunk. And Entrance was definitely a solid favourite at Pulse.
It's one of that's one of the tunes you can
always... Have we said the song now?
Set You Free.
Oh, Set You Free.
Set You Free.
It's a good point, yeah. I think that is the song you think of when you think of that Entrance, though, isn't it? I used to, when we was in school, we used to have these, do you know, like, everyone used to want to be a DJ. And it's like what you're saying there, like, you used to go to, like, them teen nightclub things. We had one in
Stockport. It was called Heaven and Hell in Stockport.
Yeah, wow.
It was like, it was upstairs was like all white and downstairs was like all red. It was like,
oh, big, so devil, clever. And,
yeah, exactly. It was like, ooh. But everyone wanted to be a DJ. And I remember buying this like DJ set off eBay and I got it for 99p and I was dead buzzing. And I did it on my dad's account. But the delivery was like 55 quid or something. Me and my dad was like, absolutely fuming. I was like, but anyway, it came. And the first vinyl I got was Entrance.
Really?
And I'm looking at my vinyl collection here. I've got to see if I've got
it. That's awesome having it on vinyl. That's super cool. I mean, I definitely had it on...
How is that?
Cassette or CD. Fucking
hell. I was looking there.
All right, mate, get on the old... Is that the OG 3 for a tenner HMV or something?
That's amazing.
Imagine if it was like that now.
Shit.
Wow, 3 for a tenner, that's genius.
I thought it sounds like before this I was up all night like trying to dig up my Entrance vinyl. Yeah, yeah. I literally just saw the green then and remember it was good. I was like, I've got that somewhere.
That is such a tune. You've got to spin that later. I'm gonna have a little dance.
No, do you what? I'm gonna leave it out. But yeah.
Good.
I think that is, like you said, that's one of them songs, right? It's like it's like I think like Champagne Supernova and that, there's like a euphoria to it where you just want to sort of grab your mate and dance to it and just be like, ah, this is amazing. Do you know what I mean? You just want to forget everything. It's like, this song's amazing.
It's one of those you can't remember where it came from. It's like it's always been in the ether. Do you know what I mean?
Always been there.
Because we were probably, I don't ever remember going or finding that tune. I just remember knowing it like forever sort of thing.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And it is like a real nostalgic moment. Like me and all my schoolmates, there's six of us, we're still best friends. And we've all had kids and we will often text a song like that to each other and go, oh my God, do you remember when we used to like be fun human beings that do that by kids? And you need to remember who that part of yourself. So I like to often remember the Pulse days and me being a fun person.
Is Pulse still a thing?
I don't know. I very much doubt it. I'm not even sure how they got away with it back then because we were all clearly so drunk when we arrived. And it probably started at about 7. Do you know what I mean? It was like super early, but it was, and everyone was snogging each other and all that jazz. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, it was carnage, but so fun. But I doubt it's there. It might, it's probably been turned into a block of flats or something, to be fair, isn't it?
Because the one we had, the Heaven Hell one, was that, and I imagine it might be the same post, but like, it was actually a nightclub, but it was like on a Wednesday night, they had this teen night.
No, this was a hockey hall, primarily.
Right, okay, so our one was like, it was a nightclub, but on like a Wednesday, it was like under 16s or something. And like the bar just sold Coke and Fanta.
Maybe just to really, so you can sleep at night, I might do a pilgrimage to Ryslip and just check it out.
Do you know what, I want you to do like a Zoom call and recreate Pulse over Zoom.
Or what might be easier is just that when this podcast goes out, they just say, if anyone lives on King's College Road, Ryslip, is Pulse still there? Then I haven't got a bother.
Yes. I feel like I want to know the vibe of Pulse, but I want to relive the vibe.
Yeah, I found a Pulse flyer the other day because one of my best mates, Kai, he used to always go with me. And I do a 90s show on Radio 2 because I'm at that age now where I can legitimately reminisce about an era, which is ridiculous. And I found the flyer via Kai, and it was like, it had one of those little acid faces, smiley faces on with like dancing, and it had like MC this, MC that, like all these local DJs and MCs with hilarious.
That's exactly how I imagine it.
Yeah. You've got
living
it.
Up to the imagination.
I love that.
I know.
So, Entrance Set You Free featuring Pulse Nightclub.
Yeah. Loving it.
And I didn't know they were from Manchester. Not even disgrace that fact that Entrance from Manchester.
Well, let's hope they are, because if not...
Wikipedia says so, it must be true.
Yeah, it's got to be true.
It has to be true. Shall I go? I'm going to switch up the energy now.
Yeah.
I'm going Take That, Love Ain't Here Anymore.
The first Take That entry.
Yeah, it is. What?
Who's not picking Take That? Who is not picking Take That?
There is a lot to choose from, though, isn't there? When you start delving of like Manchester artists, it's like, I'm glad I don't have to pick it because I don't know what I pick.
You can't. They're sublime.
I think it's what you're saying, though, before you said before, Fer. I think it's that thing of being like, oh, trying to be too cool. You didn't want to
I'm not
take
cool.
that.
I know I'm not cool. I'm too old. I'm not cool. I'm going with the classics and I'm going right. with that. And I'm not even going with a high upbeat octane one. I'm going with a Love Ain't Here Anymore because me and Becky Curry, one of my best mates, used to sit on our kitchen counter and me and Becky Curry knew every word and we would sing our little hearts out dreaming of whichever one we fancied that week.
I think Take That, like, you know, Take That were massive, weren't they? Well, they still
massive!
Are. Like, massive. Huge.
Like, if you grew up in the 90s, you couldn't escape them. And I wasn't even, like, I wasn't a Take That fan that had posters all over my bedroom wall because I was too obsessed at the time with Hanson, not from Manchester. And so I was more into Umbop. So I was all about Hanson, whereas like Fran and Becky were really into Take That. But I, because I have always been a huge music fan, you can't not appreciate an amazing pop melody and lyric that comes from the one and only Captain Gary Barlow.
He's such a good songwriter as well. Yeah, so yeah. good.
Insane. He's so good. Like every song, go back to those first three albums. There's not a bad song.
No, a million love songs.
A million Matt love. Forgot. I nearly went with that, but I thought this was a little bit more of a curveball and I've got more nostalgia attached to it. Every song, like back, like, oh, it's just a million, like go and listen to all of that. Like, they're just amazing, amazing. Every song, every song.
Yeah, I was good. And here's the vinyl. No, I'm joking. I'm not
I remember when they came back after breaking up with Patience and that was like, what a fucking tune that is.
Right.
That was like, whatever it was, 2006, I was like, bit like, obviously I'm into like, by then I was like full on, yeah, indie and all that. And then they heard that, I was like, fucking hell, Take That.
But as a songwriter yourself, like you can't, you know, even if it's not your genre, you can't deny it. Like songwriting prowess, like just the melodies and it's just so clever. Like as far as pop goes, it doesn't get much better than Take That.
100%.
Yeah. And they've got that other thing, haven't they? They've got the thing like Robbie, sort of like the badass one. You know, is he in, is he out? They've got a few little back behind the scenes things. You know, they are interesting. They've got a few, they tick all the boxes, don't they, Take That?
And they're lovely. Like, I've interviewed them a million times. I know Gary very well because we did Kilimanjaro together for Comic Relief. And I've done a bunch of work stuff with him. And he's just the loveliest, loveliest bloke ever. So I absolutely adore them. I think they're brilliant.
You've got into walking, haven't you, Joe?
Oh,
really?
I just opened a big package that got loads of free gifts. Oh, I love it.
What's that? Walking boots and stuff?
Yeah, walking pants. They're the ones.
This is what it's like now in a band in lockdown. Our conversations, I was on the phone to him yesterday and he went, I've got these new shoes, they're really good for gripping. I was like, is this what it is now? And I was like, fair play, mate. I'm going out running. It's like fucking hell.
Can you make walking indie?
Well, this is what I was going to say, right? Because I love coats. Do you know what I mean? I'm like a bit of a jacket fiend, and I love like the old walking jackets. Do you know what I mean? Like, and obviously the 90s was quite big on, especially Manchester walking coats, parkas and stuff. And then so at first it was like I'd always put like a cool coat on, but recently it's got like too technical, and now this is my first pair of walking pants, and I feel like that's the point where it's like. You don't care about the cool coats anymore.
Can you define a walking pant? Like, what is a walking pant? What's different about a normal pair of trousers? That's what I need to know.
Yeah, I'm curious on this as well.
It's
going to have, like, whistles on it and shit like that.
Is this, like, netted bag? I don't know what that's for.
A tangerine?
Dignity, that.
They're very waterproof.
Right.
You've got something. It's like an unzippable flare that goes all the way down.
Oh my god! So if you get a bit hot, you can get some ventilation to your calves. That's genius.
I don't know why is that zip so big?
You're just too cool, Joe. I don't know what to do about this. You're oozing cool.
You see, being in a band now, but I think I'm because I'm a drummer. Drummers have never been cool.
Of course they have. What about Dave Grohl?
Yeah. Maybe, okay, I'm just not cool.
Right, okay. So you're the exception.
I'm the thing that lets drummers down. Okay. I'm a walking pants that zip all the way.
They're like them. Taylor Hawkins has got walking pants.
I hope I'm not the only one. they're like them tracky bottoms, the Kipper ones. You see the press does.
Yeah,
like that.
They were wicked, man. I had a pair of those from Wembley Market. Genius.
You see, you're laughing at me now, but when I wear them bad boys and unzip them,
you're bringing it back.
everyone want poppers down the legs.
Do we do song four?
We've gone off on a right tangent from Take That to Rambling. I mean, what's going on?
As soon as you mentioned Kilimanjaro, that was it.
I know, he's off. You should do a walking podcast. There you go. That's a new offshoot for you.
We had a mate, just a quick one. And they're like, basically Miles, one of his mates, they had like a group chat. And, you know, back in the day, they had like a flat and they used to all get, you know, a lot of drinks and a lot of whatever. Like, it was like a party flat. So they had a group chat and one of them was like, oh, I'm thinking of doing a walk for charity for someone's, like, you know, to raise some money. Thinking of walking Everest. And we were like, are you fucking mental?
Yeah, that's going to take about 4 months and you might die just to see it.
So like some of the, like, the world's best mountaineers have failed Mount Everest. Like, it's like...
Like, at least start with the Cornish coast. Come on.
Exactly.
start with Kinder and move up.
There you go. I'm going to go with Chemical Brothers, Hey Boy, Hey Girl, for my next one.
Tune.
Chemical Brothers are just like...
It's a firm dressing room, after the gig dressing room vibe, that, isn't it, for us?
I bet it is, because it's got everything. Like, it's that build is so crazy. Even if you're feeling really sluggish and crap, it just, like, there's just something euphoric about that song. So good.
And they are, like, the masters of a live gig, I think.
We've seen them live at a few festivals, and we're like, fucking hell. Like, the show they put on, it's like...
A show.
Next level.
The digital element is amazing, and I just think they've always been at the sort of forefront of that, haven't they? They're so sublime at what they do, and especially in a festival setting.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I was going to say, the last time I remember seeing them was at Glastonbury. And
we talk about Glastonbury, it's too depressing, isn't it?
I know. Mitch, I was cooking yesterday, and I had, like, the tunes on the radio, and then it broke for, like, a news break. And obviously, I had, like, you know, I had, like, it was, like, Barry White, loads of Boss tunes. And then it was, like, a house has fallen into the road in Manchester because of the floods. And then it said something about, you'll get an £800 fine if you go to a party. And then it was, like, and Glastonbury's cancelled. I was just staring at my food, like... Is this the end of the world? I was like, what's going on here?
How are you not feeling about not gigging? Because, like, my husband's in a band and he's just like, it's just such a downer not being able to get out and do what you're good at. How are you dealing with that?
I think because everyone's in the same boat, like, for us, so you kind of, you know, you can't be too selfish about it, but it's more the, like, you know, announcing it and then cancelling it. If they could, like, give us a set date, like, if in my head, if it was like, right, you know, a year from now, or, you know, next summer, 2022, you can do it. I think I'd be able to, I could accept it, because I know, you know, you've got an end goal then, where it's more the, like, the fear of the unknown, I suppose. It's just a bit like, is it ever going to come back? But it will. It's just a strange, strange time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that thing you said, that cancelling, because you get loads of people and going like, why didn't you just cancel it? Or why are you rescheduled? Like, I think we've got a tour that's like next month or like the next 2 months, which is obviously not going to happen. But it's like, obviously, we've got loads of people who are working really hard to try and sort it all out. But you get tweets like every day, like, is this still going on? It's like, obviously not. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally, of course it's not going on. It's like, but just bear with us. But you can't say it. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
You just got to try and stay motivated, haven't you? Like, I wrote a lot in the first lockdown, so we ended up recording another album.
Wicked.
So, you know, we've got that to kind of delve into. And, like, we've got the podcast now. And just trying to keep your mind at ease, innit, I suppose. And... Keep motivated. For you, I bet you, like, because I've seen a few things you talked about, like homeschooling and stuff. I bet that's, like, so hard.
Homeschooling is living hell. it's so awful. But work-wise, I've been really lucky, because, like, especially with the podcast, if anything, it's been easier, because previously you would never have, none of us would have thought, I didn't even know what Zoom was, we'd never have thought to do anything online. So I would wait for someone from the States to come to the UK, have this sort of scheduling nightmare of when and how we're going to meet and whatever. And then you know, the two series I've done in this last year, we've had some of the best guests ever because everyone's sat home doing nothing. So we've had Alicia Keys, Deepak Chopra, Robbie, like just some amazing people because everyone, as you've said, is in the same boat of going, I need to stay creative. I need to keep thinking. I need to keep doing my thing. So we've just had some amazing people. So it's made that bit easier. You know, I'm on a selfish note gutted that we didn't get to do our live festival, our Happy Place festival last year. Don't know what's happening with it this year. We're still in the same boat as you guys, like a stay at a time. But I really can't wait to do that again and just to be with a bunch of strangers in a field. I'm looking forward to that.
100%. Yeah. When you see like videos back, you're like, it just seems like so foreign now, doesn't it? You're like, wow, I can't imagine.
And in New
that.
Zealand, they had a music festival in New Zealand last week, and I was like, people are touching each other. Oh my God.
Stop hugging.
Oh, but it looked joyful. So, yeah, you know.
You just got to think when it does come back, it'll be, you think it'll be better than ever, and the appetite will be unreal. So, I suppose once you starved something for so long, it's like, once you get it, it'll be.
I'll say that. Imagine the first Glastonbury back.
Oh!
You know, I'll just be like, I can just imagine going in the field, just running around everywhere. Like, I used to moan about this 8 mile walk, but now I love it.
Yeah. I know. It's going to be great.
I think that's the best thing. It's like looking forward to things like that. I think that's the only way to get by, is like looking forward. Instead of just thinking about the now, it's just like one day, soon, it'll be there.
It's going to be like, really good.
But Chemical Brothers are that thing that I'd be like, if there was one band, like at a festival, I'd always be like, I need to see.
Have to.
Yeah, we did a festival. I can't remember. Where was it, Tom? Do you remember? The Miles birthday one.
Romania.
Yeah, Romania. They were headlining there and we played like early in the day. I think it was our first time there. And I think it was just after a big gig of ours. Like a home.
We just got number one on the first album.
Yeah, we just got the number one. So we're absolutely buzzing. And we wanted to sort of, sounds dead ungrateful now, but at the time we just wanted to sort of spend time with our, because we'd just done that whole year of just like touring everywhere. Like we not even spent any time at home. Then we came back, we got the number one. We were like, oh, we just sort of wanted to spend time with our families, you know what I mean? Yeah. But instead we had to like go to this festival in Romania. We'd never been. We thought it was going to be one of them festivals where you turn up and there's like 12 people and you're on a massive stage and you're just like, why? But it was actually one of the best festivals, and it was, look, the crowd was massive and everyone was like really like, happy to see us. Then Chemical Brothers were headlining and they got like Miles a bottle of champagne for his birthday. And it was just like, this is mint. And we were watching Chemical Brothers like on this little like VIP bit, like just, it was in the crowd, but it was like, it was weird, but it was really good. And this mole kept coming up every time the bass went. this mole kept popping up like in between your legs.
An actual mole?
Like massive, like an actual mole just like kept crawling up. I was like, the weirdest thing ever, like watching the Chemical Brothers in Romania with a mole.
Wow. I mean, I've never heard of a mole visiting a festival. That's really quite something. It's funny because like, I wouldn't normally at home listen to dance music at all, but at a festival, it's just something so magical. Like, I remember seeing Daft Punk for the first time at a festival and it was just ridiculous, like so euphoric and incredible. And likewise with Prodigy, like even more special now, you know, I've seen them a bunch of times at festivals and that is just something that I will cherish forever. And it's, as I said, not something I'd put on at home, but when you're at a festival, it's just, oh, it's next level. So my last song, and again, it will be no surprise to anybody that I'm picking this band, is Stone Roses. And I've gone with Waterfall.
That's my favourite tune.
Is it?
It's possibly of all time. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, my brother is a massive Stone Roses fan, and we could probably debate this one for quite a long time. But I just think there's something so delicate and beautiful about it. And it's just a bit of a classic, isn't it, really? It sounds good any time of day.
Yeah, Stone Roses. 100%. They're one of them bands that just are really annoying how good they are. Like each one of them is just like a mass. Like, do you know what I mean? John Squire is just amazing. Rennie is amazing. Manny's amazing. Like, it's just like, they're so annoying. Do you know when you look into it, you're just like, oh God, that's,
they're all so good. I once saw Ian at the supermarket.
Really?
So I was in a supermarket in West London, quite a like nice organic-y kind of one. Like not a chain, a one-off.
Wow. Yeah.
And I kept looking, going, nah, can't be. In here, buying brown rice? And I just kept following him, and it was him. And he stood in front of me at the checkpoint. I was just staring at him blatantly. I didn't say hi. It's too embarrassing. Didn't know. I'd never met him before. I've weirdly never interviewed them. Wow. And he was buying all sorts of healthy organic stuff, and he went on his way.
There's a film, mate. There's a film called There's Only One Jimmy Grimble, which is about a young lad who wants to play for Man City. It's like a late 90s film. And the soundtrack to that, it's like waterfalls in that. It just reminds me of that film and just being young. And it's one of the first tunes like my mum and dad had showed me. And I think they showed me the Stone Roses album, but that was the one that I got into, that song, if you know what I mean. I think it's accessible to all ages. And
it is. It's just lovely. Yeah. There's just something really delicate and amazing about it. And the melody is beautiful. And I think when you listen to it and like you... Because I listened to it again when I was picking these songs, because I was like, oh, it's a very hard task picking these songs. And listening to that again, there's just like a lot of layers to that song, and it's just a really clever song. I just think it's really beautiful.
Yeah, I love that tune. Tim, it's definitely my top five of all time, that tune.
Really?
Yeah, I've always said, obviously you go in waves of like, say, oh, this is one of my favourite tunes, but that's always like stayed up there for me.
It's a beaut.
I love it.
It's we were lucky enough to support him at Wembley.
Really? How was that?
Amazing.
Did you hang out much?
We did. They had like a little after party, like near the dressing rooms, and we were like in there. My mum and dad had come and stuff like that, so I got to introduce them to like to Ian Brown and stuff. And obviously they like been to Spike Island together, and you know, were massive fans. So I think they were just like,
yeah, freaking out,
shock. So that was great. Yeah, he was dead sound. Dynamo was there doing magic.
Oh, I love him. He's so... He pops up everywhere.
Yeah.
With a deck of cards, picking marbles out your ears or whatever he's doing. He's always doing cool stuff.
That was one of the gigs, though, where it was like, oh, I don't know, I felt that's what every backstage is like. When you first start a band, you're like, oh, backstage is going to be amazing. Obviously, then you do gigs and you're like, backstage is rubbish.
Yeah. So
David Beckham, give me a pint.
No way.
But that was the gig where it was like, backstage was like, yeah, this is what I imagine.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, it's like Dynamo just casually doing magic.
Yeah.
David Beckham was throwing pints around, like, why
not? Throwing pints. It's like he was kicking off.
But that's what it should be like, and it doesn't really happen so much anymore, does it? Because everything feels quite sort of mechanical and like clinical, but I think there are a few bands that still really keep that like very exciting magic backstage where you're like, oh, this feels exactly as I'd imagined it would. Like, that's really, really special. But I think it's quite rare these days.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I think you've just got to be absolutely huge, and you've got to be on that level and just be. I think it's like social media and phones as well. I think that's why then these like Dynamo and David Beckham don't really go to as many gigs. I mean, it's just like they can't just enjoy it. It's just like getting my bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shame, but it's what it is. It was a good gig. But yeah, Mint song, Mint band,
Mint. I don't know if I can say Mint. Can I? It's not really allowed. Yeah,
you can say Mint.
Really? Even though I'm a dirty southerner.
Yeah, of course you can.
Well, we spent loads of time in Liverpool recording. We just say Boss now, like it's part of our life. Yeah.
And is that okay? You're allowed to?
I think so. We just made it. We just started. I think when you meet new people and you drop it into a conversation, they're probably looking at you like, why the fuck's he saying Boss? But then you're like, no, I've got loads of mates and we spent loads of time there. And it's just like a habit now.
That's it. Fern will be homeschooling later and be like, okay, that was Mint. Well, don't you, but what?
My son will love it. My son is, he's down with like any new words that he can fit in. He's always got like a new little phrase or word that he's using. So I'm going to teach him Mint and he'll be most definitely loving that one. Probably say it to his teacher on Zoom or something, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, there's worse words than Mint.
There are many worse ones, even ones that I have uttered over the last month of homeschooling.
Everyone happy?
No.
Oh, why not? What's your problem?
You know, I feel like a caged tiger, Fern.
Why?
I've got so much to say, but I can't say it.
Charlie, you sound like you know, there's something wrong with you, because it's like slightly a bit slow. You're like...
It's like you're in 42's nightclub, 2 a.m.
No, it's been an enjoyable listen, to be honest. So
he's enjoyed just chilling out and listening, bless him.
Sorry, Jazz.
That's all right.
Poor thing. Well, I've had a lovely
Thank
time.
Thank you so much for doing it, though, Fern.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah.
Enjoy homeschooling.
Nice one.
Hi, guys.
What's on the news?
Amazing.
I've got a potential new section.
Oh.
But I think basically I'll read you a few of the things and then we'll go into, we can select one of
them.
Have
you got a name for it or is
I'm going to call it Amusing News.
Oh, nice.
So basically it's like weird headlines from the week.
Sing Amusing News. So Miles can do a thing to it.
We
don't have to have a fucking...
No, go, yeah, go on. What a jingle to it. Go on, Miles. Sing it.
What's on the news?
Amazing.
It's amusing.
Amusing? Well, that's what we're using. I want fucking listening.
We'll have us laughing after a scene of it.
Amusing.
It's because you really try. It said amazing, just made no sense.
I thought it was called. Well, no,
what's on the news?
You think it was amazing news?
I thought it was amazing news because it was like.
That's the thing. That should be it.
That's the theme in us laughing at you.
God,
that's good. What's in the news? What's in the news?
Amazing.
I felt sorry for you then.
It's not the first time, is it? Right, go on with your amazing news.
I'll read you the headlines first, and then we'll go into one at the end if you want, and talk about it. So, here's one. Woman fined after walking husband on a lead and telling the police he was a dog.
Just why didn't you say hello?
What?
That headline is, woman fined after walking husband on a lead and telling the police he was a dog.
Have you got a reason to why this happened?
Yeah, I've got some more info, but I'm going to go. Man changes his name to Celine Dion after having far too much to drink.
Oh, he was on Radio 2.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Bodybuilder who married a sex doll says she broke just before Christmas.
Why is that the news?
Colin removed a man... Oh, Colin. Fucking read it wrong. Coin removed from man's...
Colin removed from man's...
Coin removed from man's nose after being stuck there for 50 years.
Colin removed from man's nose for his
daughter. Man whose body turns food into alcohol can get drunk from eating a slice of cake.
Wait, don't do any more.
No, I've got one more which I think is a good one.
I like this section.
Zombie apocalypse map shows the best place to be in the UK if the dead rose.
Josh has got Josh's house with the axe.
Well, the multiple axes, don't you mean?
Right, so which one do you want to hear more about? I think you probably want to know about the zombie one, don't you?
Tell me that.
Miles is actually interested. You've probably thought about this a lot.
Right. If you would, really quick insert, there's a running app where you can pretend you're being chased by zombies.
Is there?
Yeah, Emily showed me. Didn't work, I'm not doing it. But like, yeah, you put it on and it goes, the zombies are coming, run for your life. And it's like, you have to start sprinting or they kill you. How deep is that?
Do you know what, I think that would make me run, to be fair.
Anyway.
Right. A zombie apocalypse may not be on the cards anytime soon, or so we hope. But scientists have now revealed the best place to live if the dead were to rise up. The company...
Wait there, when they say scientists, fucking bollocks.
They're called Save on Energy, the place.
It's nerds on Reddit, innit?
Yeah.
The company's analysis revealed that Cambridge would be the best place to live if they began to rise from the dead.
For that, they'd be all clever.
What?
That was so fucking chavvy the way you said that there.
Being clever.
Being all clever.
Here's the reason. This is because it has lots of access to farmland, as well as being a home to a number of onshore wind farms and recycling centres.
Ah, so you could like live off the land.
That's basically what it is. Not like you can go and get a lot of cardboard to fight them. Do you know what I mean?
Why cardboard?
Well, it's because they're near a recycling centre.
There's a world shortage of cardboard at the moment.
Is there actually?
Yeah, because the spike...
It's all in our fucking yard. We need to fucking get rid of it.
Because the spike in deliveries and stuff like that.
Wow.
There you go. And cardboard's going up. There's a boring...
Oxford was ranked as the least likely place where people could survive a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, smart as well.
Manchester's in the top 10 to survive.
That's good.
Give us one more, Tom.
So what do you want to hear about?
You pick. Go on, pick.
Let me have a quick look again. So the woman fined after walking her husband on the lead. A woman in Canada has been fined for breaking a COVID curfew by walking her husband on a lead. When stopped by the police, she claimed her partner was in fact a dog.
A fucking load of bollocks.
On Saturday, Quebec said that people would have to stay indoors between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. in a bid to halt the stop of this virus. However, dog walkers are allowed outside during this time. Ah. So she was saying to the police, nah, my husband's a dog. So that's why she can be out walking. But obviously they're looking at him like a human man saying, nah, he's not a dog. So she gets fined.
How fucking... You've got to be on some it.
I mean, I understand trying to...
I understand doing it in the bedroom, but...
You know, I'm trying to talk your way out of some it. Well, it's just not going to work, is it?
Do the thing is,
maybe they're into that. Maybe in, like you said, them programs where they're in, people are into it in the furries. Relationship.
Oh no, furries.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Furries.
Have you
yeah.
seen that? Have you seen that program where the guy like wants to find other people and he finds like a group of people and goes over to meet them and he's like, they see it as like quite a sexual thing and he's devastated because he just wants to be a dog. It's quite sad. I know. It's like, oh, you feel a bit sorry for me because he just wants to be a dog and that he goes to this group and everyone else is like. Got like a sexual thing to it, and he's got it. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what's the worst part about being like an animal or a dog or a cat or something? They always beg for food. You can't just eat food yourself, can you? Imagine being like, food. Our cat does it. Fucking well annoying. Food, I'm a cat. Feed me. Fuck off.
George is like that. Well, all dogs are like that, aren't they? They just want food all the time. Yeah, they're easily pleased, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, they are nice.
I think it's a small
I don't feel like they have the mental... things that we have going on. Do you know what I mean?
No, they're just happy. I walk in and just say, good boy.
What do you mean you waking up this morning?
Yeah, like a dog don't wake up on the wrong side of the bed. The dog just wakes up and goes, give me food. Yeah. Feed it, he's all right.
He's dead, but dogs are just dead happy all the time, aren't they? Like, if you look at your dog and say, good boy, it'll just wag its tail and that breaks my heart.
You
know I mean, if I look at you and say, good boy, you're just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. do you want to wear some... a nitpicker... Do you know what I'm referring to? You know when you call someone a nitpicker?
Yeah.
But a nitpicker was initially someone who meticulously looked over human hairs to make sure they were lice free.
So, no, if you refer to someone as a nitpicker, you mean like they're always going over small details?
Yeah, but a nitpicker was actually someone who was, back in the day...
So it was a proper job?
That was a proper job that they used to go through your hair meticulously and nit.
I think that's probably true. I'm having that, but I can tell by your face now you probably just made it.
No.
A nitpick, I think. Doing possibly,
you say, like, fucking hell, you're nitpicking now.
1920s, you go to the doctors.
they send you to the nitpicker.
And they send you to the
nitpicker. Yeah, no, that's what they send you. They send you to the nitpicker.
You've got this whole idea from Balderdash, haven't you? Remember when we played it on the bus? You have, haven't you?
Balderdash.
Good game, that, wasn't it?
No. What is Balderdash?
Fucking hell. Acting.
You know when you make up a random definition for a word?
Yep.
Yeah. Nitpicking.
Yeah, so it's a phrase, isn't it? They would have to stop nitpicking. Is that what they're saying?
Do they use combs and stuff? Because it's the eggs, isn't it, that stay. It's not just the nits on there. You'd have to pull all the eggs out.
Well, actually, nits are actually the lice's eggs. They're called lice.
I reckon.
I don't know. The more he's talking about it, the more I think he's chatting shit.
You've heard this in the house, like Sophia's got onto you saying, stop nitpicking. And you thought, ooh, alarm bells, I'll take that.
I think he's probably made it up, but it's also quite believable.
But in I like think a hash.
What do you reckon, Josh?
I can understand why the term nitpicking exists, because nits are small, and if you pick them, it's time-consuming and you're spending a lot of time on detail.
Yeah, that's why it's called a nitpicker.
But I mean...
Go and see the nitpicker.
I can also see no reason why someone who picks nits...
Dr. Bill, the nitpicker. Lying, chatting shit.
It's true!
I fucking said it was true. Is it true?
Yeah.
I said it.
I had to turn on the acting. Did you see that? As soon as you said it straight away, I was... I had to turn it on.
I was right, getting
good at acting though, aren't I?
When did the nitpicker start?
That's actually true. I don't know the year, but that's true as well. The nits are actually the lice's eggs. They're called head lice, aren't they? And the nits are actually the eggs.
Fair play.
Yeah. So yeah, you used to actually get people who nitpicked this eggs out your hair before the comb and shit.
Why don't we get nits anymore?
Nits go for clean air, don't they?
That's why they don't have yours.
you don't get them as an adult. You get them off your kids.
No, you can do as an adult.
Yeah, it's more frequent in children.
It's because kids are like playing stuff and their heads are close together. Do you know what I mean? When you're in the office, you don't
rub your head together as a kid. They rub their heads together then, and it's like,
you never go, every time fucking hell, whose head you've been rubbing against?
Like, they rub fucking their heads in
that. No, they didn't. They never said they rubbed their
heads. I don't know who they are.
Oh, thanks very much, guys. Thanks for listening.
Hope everyone's keeping well, keeping safe, and just
remember, if you need to move your junk, go to the doctor.
Here we are again.
this one. Those will try and do this again sometime.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.